Good. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started. My name's John Ekman. I'm talking today about Kaltura and Drupal and how they go together. Anybody recognize the two great tastes that taste great together reference? This is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I'm the only child of the 80s in the room. All right. So this is actually a Flickr photo of some vegan peanut butter and chocolate cups, because as a vegan, I don't eat Reese's. But so a little bit about me. I know at Drupal camps, it's often customary to have a kind of disclaimer at the beginning, disclaiming one's expertise. But in this case, it's really true. I really mean it. I don't work for Kaltura. I don't maintain the Kaltura modules. I'm not a video expert. But I work for a company, and we're building a site right now in Drupal, leveraging Kaltura to create a video portal. So a lot of what I have to talk about today is sort of what we've been experiencing with that case study that's live and in progress. And I mean, by live, I don't mean launched. I mean live as in the project is ongoing, or I should say the project is ongoing since we're here in Montreal. Although I've been a Drupal user for the past 4.5 years, I really spend my life as a digital strategist. So I'm sort of a developer who now no longer writes code actively most of the time. I'm usually doing roadmaps and planning and strategy with clients. And I'm also, Drupal and I are in a complex relationship, as I like to say. I use Drupal, but I also use other platforms. I work with clients on many platforms. Drupal appreciates my contributions, but also sees many more developers and designers than just me, and so it all works out. So on Twitter, I'm Jekman. I blog at Open Parenthesis about open source issues, and my username around Drupal is also Jay Ekman. So the company I work for is iSight Design. iSight is a digital agency headquartered in Portland, Oregon. We have an office in Boston, in Cambridge, Mass., and a small office out in Los Angeles, 16 years old, and focused really on our mission statement is to help organizations thrive in the digital age. So doing strategy, doing site design and build, doing training and education, really always with a goal of sort of helping our clients raise their game so that they'll do more interesting work over time. So kind of taking the model of teaching them to fish rather than simply getting them fish, right? I don't like that metaphor as a vegan, but that's all right. And we do a lot of focus on higher education. So just a few of our higher education clients there, MIT, Oregon Health Sciences University, Harvard, Tufts, Wharton, University of Michigan, Dearborn. Those are not all Drupal clients. In fact, only a small number of them are Drupal sites. But we're increasingly finding a kind of overlap between the Drupal space and the higher education space, both of which we had been working in. So one of my goals over the next year at iSight is to keep building both a stronger open source practice and a practice both in the sense of serving clients, but also in the sense of becoming more active contributors as a company. And also building a stronger higher education practice. So taking some of the work that we've done and making it more repeatable, shareable, recognizable across education. There was a great higher education roundtable in here just before this session, and we were talking about sort of ways of trying to create a more collaborative effort across, say, higher education institutions in Canada or more broadly. Drupal obviously has a strong place to play in higher ed. But it sometimes sort of feels like every higher educational institution finds Drupal on their own and doesn't sort of recognize if all their peers are doing the same thing at the same time. One of the other things that we do at iSight Design is manage a blog called the CMS Myth. The CMS Myth being this idea that content management systems will solve all of your problems, i.e. the myth that the technology is the solution, rather than a whole set of management activities and strategy and planning and creation of content and all the sort of other things that go on, that a CMS is part of that world. But a CMS no more makes you have a compelling web experience than a copy of PageMaker makes you able to make great designs, right? It's merely a technology that enables. So one of the things that means we get to do is we talk to a lot of different people about their content management systems, and we discovered, created this pain assessment tool as a way of understanding how people feel about their CMS. So very, very rarely do I come across somebody who's really at hearts, rainbows, puppies, should probably say unicorns. Maybe at a Drupal camp, we have a higher percentage of people off at that end of the spectrum. I think at Drupal camps, it's mostly somewhere around that, is it happy hour yet? That's kind of where people are with Drupal. If you go talk to people who have very expensive proprietary CMSs, they're typically off the end here at this is why we can't have nice things, right? That's often their experience of content management. And so the goal of CMS Myth is to help people understand better ways of thinking about the way they build their sites and manage their web presences so that they don't get stuck at the left end of that pain tool. So what I'm going to talk about today, as I mentioned earlier, is a case study in progress. It's such a case study in progress that I can't even actually talk about who the client is. But it's an undergraduate institution at a major research university in the Boston area, which narrows it down to only a dozen or so. Their current site was built circa 2006, and I'm sure felt very current at the time, but has since greatly shown its age, right? So it's in Easy Publish 3.10. Easy Publish is a open source PHP-based CMS out of Norway, and widely used in lots of places in Europe, not so common in the Boston area. There is no Easy Publish users group that I know of in the Boston area, so they have had a hard time getting support. More importantly, the site is very heavily focused on video, and they're in real media format. Anybody remember RealPlayer? How many of you actually have RealPlayer installed on your machine today? Very few. Few of you. You may have been to this site then, because that's the only reason I know to ever get it. And so, you know, at the time that they first started doing video online, this is back in, I believe, 03, you know, real media was the format. It was the thing to do. It was the direction to go in. This was also a time when, from a ownership perspective, a lot of people were concerned about people will be able to download my videos, and RealPlayer was one of the, part of their sort of offering was this notion of lock-in, and they're going to make it hard for people to scrape the video off the web. Of course, there were always ways around it, but that was kind of the mindset people had at the time about putting video online. And what that has meant is that today they're in the situation in which they'll run some fantastic event of which they will have a live stream and of which they'll have recorded video the next day. And they send it to their colleagues and press and everybody they want to be involved. And what they get back is, it doesn't work on my machine, right? I can't view it. I tried to install the plugin, but it broke, right? And everybody who's ever done IT support knows that you know, there's probably some solution out there. There probably is a way to actually get real media to play on every contemporary operating system. But the reality is people don't take the time, right? They try a couple of times. It doesn't work. They give up. They go away. They go work on whatever else they were working on, and they completely just forget the site ever existed. So they need to get out of that. They also need a longer-term sort of digital strategy to think about how the site grows over time, which is part of why you end up in 2011 stuck on a platform that made sense in 2003. Obviously, some planning over the last couple of years might have helped us get there. So I love this. This is from Crigo, a comedy website. The Allegan County Board has a plan. That plan is to develop a plan that will help them plan out their long-term strategic planning. Sometimes feels like my world. We're going to have a plan for how we're going to get to a plan to get to a plan. So some inspiration first. So what do we think about when we think about a video portal in 2011, right? To me, TED is the kind of shining example, right? TED Talks, not from the point of view of I want to run a conference that's invite only and costs $50,000 and has only 15-minute speeches by famous people, but in the sense that they've done an excellent job of making that experience available on the web, on mobile devices, et cetera. So they've got not only sort of the video problem solved, right? High-quality video with rapid play, scrubber, full screen, subtitles, formats for different devices. The stuff that you should never notice in your experience as an end user because it should just work, right? So they got all that nailed first. Then on top of that, they added all these other things like ways to get involved, like strong contextual recommendations based on other themes and metadata and taxonomy. Ways to get more involved, ways to ask to follow them, ways to participate in the conversation, all the sort of standard, what we now think of as Web 2.0 stuff, right? But TED was doing this fairly early. So we think of them as a model. They also, and last time I did this presentation to the client, I actually had a them and us slide in which I showed TED on my iPad and then their side on my iPad with the big black box in the middle where the video doesn't play because it doesn't work. HTML5, right? The iPad not having Flash, I think actually has turned out to be a wonderful thing because it's pushing HTML5 with lots of clients in ways that pure insistence on it being the right thing to do was not doing. So now the fact that we can say all those people, including the executive director of the center who have an iPad, can't watch your video, you should be in HTML5 for that reason. If for nothing else, it seems to be one that actually works. Also, there's a site called Forum Networks. It's forumnetwork.org. This is not a site. None of these sites so far have been sites that I built or was directly involved in, just to be clear. But it is a Drupal 6 and Kaltura-based site, a joint effort from NPR and PBS, that is National Public Radio and the public broadcast system, television system in the U.S. And they're leveraging Kaltura, and they're basically aggregating videos from various kinds of public affairs and public events forums, all that are under licensing that allows them to be redistributed, so under Creative Commons or similar kinds of licensing, and enabling, again, conversation and sharing, et cetera, around them. Last kind of example, or second to last example, rather, C-SPAN. So C-SPAN is a public monopoly granted system that records all of the activities of Congress. So we think of it in the U.S. as a cable channel. It's where, like, you see Parliament, where you would see Congress and the House of Representatives sessions. About 2 years ago, they launched the C-SPAN Archives, which is archival video of all of these events that have been broadcast. And one of the things that they did that's very nice is this clipping mechanism. So you see a long-form video on the web that's an hour long, and there's 5 minutes of it where, you know, Obama gets a question from the audience that's interesting and he answers it. And you want to talk about that on your blog. So what do? You embed an hour-long video and say, scroll the scrubber to 58 minutes, 23 seconds, and that's the point where something interesting happens. Or you download the video and edit it in something else and then upload it somewhere else and then post that to your blog, right? It's a very frustrating multi-step experience. So what they did is when you click on the share or embed, you get this interface on the left with two scrubbers that you set to your in and your out. And then when you embed in your blog, that's the part that plays. Right? Still links back to the whole video so that you have source attribution and all that, but it lets you kind of hone in on one specific spot. Last example I'll use, this is one that was built by iSight, designed and built by iSight, is MIT World, which is, again, a video portal that aggregates video from around the university from multiple sources and just presents it in a kind of easy-to-use, easy-to-browse format. It has a couple of things that are interesting. If you go into Explore Ideas, you get kind of a tag cloud style experience, so you can kind of browse through by tag cloud, and you can keep hitting more tags, and it'll just keep constantly refreshing because there's always new video being poured in from different places from around the university. So let's talk about Drupal Kaltura. So inspired by those and working with the client on their digital strategy, we've proposed to leverage Drupal and Kaltura. We're in what I would describe as prototyping stage now, with the expectation of launching sometime before the end of the year, probably in December. So why Drupal? I don't need to spend a whole lot of time on why Drupal at Drupal Camp. Beyond all of the reasons that you might ordinarily answer for why Drupal, because it's awesome, because it's open source, because it works, because it's flexible, et cetera, et cetera. It's also very widely used in education and very, very well supported. And because our client is in the Boston area, it doesn't hurt that there's a very active and vibrant Drupal users group in Boston and actually at the university. So it was not at all difficult to explain the difference between, you know, what are the qualified number of easy published developers within 30 miles of this campus and what are the qualified number of Drupal people, right? It was a very easy kind of equation to make. More specifically for them, when we looked at their content management platform needs, flexible templating, distributed authoring to increase the number of people who are using the system, and one important bit is that's distributed authoring without additional cost. So some proprietary systems, you pay a per-seat license, and so you have this sort of disincentive to get more people involved in authoring, and we want to get away from that. Had to be media-capable. As I said, they're very video-centric, so that has to be important. Needs to be capable of providing syndication and aggregation. So the site, as it is today, doesn't have any feeds in or out. There's no RSS going out. There's no feeds being aggregated in. We think that's an important part of the web in 2011. Needs to have that capability. Needs to have social infrastructure, or what for Drupal Camp, I should have renamed that to Community Plumbing, right? It needs to have built in sort of all of the social aspects that you expect, and it needs to be supported. So for all those reasons, Drupal was a good fit. Why Kaltura? This one it probably requires a bit more parsing at a Drupal Camp. We looked at a lot of video platforms. In particular, we specifically evaluated Kaltura, Brightcove, and Vimeo Pro as options for this client. Large number of videos in their library, 1,500. Many of those videos an hour and a half long. Going to need them in multiple formats. Going to need live streaming capability. Wanted HTML5 and iOS adaptability to be able to run on iPads. Needed share, embed, download. Wanted the ability to add a watermark or a bug. So if you're going to allow embedding and downloading and you're going to take the TED approach of sort of let my videos circulate throughout the world, you want to have the sort of title card that runs at the beginning, right? It's the one thing I actually don't like about the TED Talks is the title card is louder than the video that follows it. So if you're listening on your iPad, it like wakes you up. But you want to sort of carry that identification with you as you send it out into the world. And then we wanted some basic editing, right? So video is still, in this day and age, I think a kind of second-class citizen on the web. We're getting closer, but it's still the number of people who have both the skills and the tools on their desktop to edit a video down versus to edit photos. It's still there's still kind of a little bit of a gap there. And having some basic editing built into the web system would go a long way towards solving that problem for us. So why did we end up with Kaltura? Well, a couple points. For one, it's open source, right? So there's a kind of strong bias towards open source in my approach, as I would be plain about up front. Kaltura, unlike Brightcove and Ulala, for example, which are the two sort of major commercial entries in that long-form hosted video sent out to lots of people, kind of broadcast almost style mode, platforms, has both a SaaS offering, a software as a service subscription in which you're leveraging their hosting in the cloud, and has the opportunity to take that same software and run it on hardware that you own and control, so we call on-premise, right? It's part of the reason why they've been successful at universities, because universities will often have either constitutionally actually written into their IT policies or just behaviorally kind of in their head that they don't want to get stuck on cloud hosting with somebody that they don't control, right? They don't want to spend a lot of time and energy developing videos on some platform, and then, you know, Google acquires Brightcove and decides to shut it down, and you're screwed, right? They want to have that kind of out. My experience has been, and again, I said at the beginning, I don't work for Kaltura, and I don't have any deep insight into their sales funnel, but my experience from talking to people has been it's the idea that someday I might take it on-premise that's more attractive than the actuality of it. That is to say, very few of the universities are actually doing that. Because what you end up finding is if you're Kaltura, managing that whole infrastructure in bulk is actually a lot more cost effective than everybody doing it on their own. And so they're able to actually be very competitive from a cost perspective to the university managing it on their own. And frankly, a lot of university IT shops are already overextended. The last thing they need to do is try to manage a complex server farm that's doing video transcoding and all and CDN integration and all this other stuff. Also has integration with learning management systems, right? So Moodle, Sakai, offers integration with WordPress and Blackboard. Not necessarily directly relevant to the site that we're building other than the Drupal module. But knowing that in the future, the parts of the university who live on the dark side and are SharePoint users want to do some integration with video as well, they can use that same back-end service. So we're not going to need to keep proliferating platforms. We can kind of stay in that same world and actually access the same content. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how it works. Fundamentally, you have a Kaltura server and a Drupal module. Even if you're doing on-premise, you still are installing a Kaltura server somewhere. So the model is kind of the same. In fact, the Kaltura management console runs on that Kaltura server, and there's a simple setting in the Drupal module where you tell it, this is the Kaltura server I want you to interact with, and it defaults to Kaltura.com, but you can point it at your own if you've taken that step. The Kaltura server is where the media gets uploaded, handles all the transcoding, handles live streaming. As if you're in the SaaS edition, has CDN integration, cloud scalability, edge caching, right? It's pushing files out to the right places, all of the things you'd expect from a hosted video service. If you're on the community edition, some of that effort will be up to you. Obviously, that depends on sort of who you're delivering video to, and I think the cases where people have done the self-hosted, it's been more in the learning management kind of scenario in which you have a captive audience or a local audience that have some relationship to you, rather than the public-facing kind of broadcast model. So in the Drupal 6 world, that module creates CCK content types. So you get a Kaltura video node and a Kaltura remix node, and I'll show those in a minute. Offers some integration with Fusion Taxonomy. In Drupal 7, it uses the fields, or CCK and core, as I still like to think of it. It uses the fields API. And so you get a Kaltura media field, which you can then add to a content type that you're creating, but they achieve much the same thing. Again, there's some views in taxonomy. There isn't yet a provider for the media module. It's one of the kind of issues in the issue queue that's getting much discussion, whether there ought to be or not. So how does the content workflow work? So you have options. You can upload content into Kaltura first, and then edit metadata, do all the things that you want to do, resize, scale, etc., on the Kaltura side, and then publish it in Drupal. Or you can start in Drupal by saying, I'm creating a new node or I'm creating new content of this type, and I upload and attach an asset to it, and in the process it ends up in the Kaltura server. Either way, what ends up happening is you have content that lives in the Kaltura management server and has a certain ID and is associated to your partner ID, and then you have associated content on the Drupal site that knows to embed that Kaltura field. So demo-wise for time, I'm going to jump out to the Kaltura management console. It's a little weird to do this while looking behind me. I'll try to go at an angle here. So this is the Kaltura management console. It is Flash-based. That actually should have counted against it in my book, but it didn't. Not enough to kill it. And so these are entries in my video table. If I take a look at one of them, this is one that obviously I've already uploaded. You can preview. You could
more
actually
about other parts of the world
from this point grab an embed code based on a selected player. So I could take one of the players that we're looking at using and grab an embed code from here and embed it, say if I had somewhere else I wanted to put video. There's also a couple of things to point out here. I can generate thumbnails. I can do thumbnails by choosing a frame in the video and saying make that the thumbnail, or I can upload. So in the particular case of this client, they're filming events in an auditorium kind of like this, and the video clips themselves don't always make good thumbnails, but they also have a live photographer at the event walking around taking traditional still photographs, and often those actually make a better thumbnail, or they can get a better thumbnail out of that than they do out of the video, so this ability to upload is nice. There are what are called flavors. Flavors is associated with sort of transcoding, so you can set the kinds of flavors that are appropriate for the video based on different sources. So say you have some sets of videos that are recorded in a room that doesn't have an HD camera and some that are recorded in a room that does, and you want to set different formats so that you don't bother keeping an HD version of the non-HD content, etc. You can adjust that through flavors. You can always come in and reconvert or convert one that wasn't converted before. And then, let's see, what else do I want to show from there? Hang on, sorry, it's hard to flip back and forth. So also players. So Kaltura comes with a number of different players and also enables you through this Kaltura Management Studio to edit players. There are also more advanced options in which you can programmatically edit how the player functions and then pass what's called a custom UI conf into the player configuration in Drupal to tell it to use that. I have not experimented with those much. But this lets you turn on and off. Like, should there be a little selector that lets me choose between the HD version and the non-HD version, a la YouTube, right, 240, 320, up to 1080p. Do I want to allow a download button or a embed button? Those are under here. Do I want to allow star ratings? Right, there are all kinds of ways in which you can edit what happens in the player inside Kaltura. And then let me just show clip creation as well. So if I wanted to upload here, I could say I'm going to pull in new video. I can upload files from my desktop. I can record from the webcam. I can submit a CSV file with pointers to files that can be retrieved through HTTP, right? So I can actually kind of batch import. I can actually, they have import from the web that can pull from places like Metacafe, and you can extend this yourself by writing other importers. Or I could just, you know, if I'm just doing a single one, I just go in here, I found a relatively small video. It's always dangerous to do a live demo with a hosted service. But yes, it actually worked. Or actually, it says uploading. So now the question is my upload pop-up somewhere else? Anyway, you go through upload, you add meta tags, and then when you flip back over into Drupal, you have a place where you can see new entries, which depends on whether you are in D6 or D7. So I know that's a little disjointed, but if you're in the Drupal 6 version of the module, when you upload through Kaltura first, what happens is the nodes get created, but they're not yet published. If you're in the D7 version of the module, what happens is the media entries don't create any content automatically, but the next time you go in to create a content type that has one of those fields, you click the Add Media button and you get a list of the files that have already been put into the Kaltura Management Console. So like I said, you can go in either direction. In the newest version of the Kaltura service, there's also this clip creation model. So when Kaltura first came out, and Kaltura's got to be 5 years old now, their big focus was on sort of user-created remixes, right? Part of the kind of Creative Commons movement. They built a site called Remix America that a lot of people probably saw that's no longer around, that was letting people take videos and mix them together and create mashups and all that. The problem with that interface, and I've got it in a couple of slides, is that it was way too complicated, and it scared people off, and they didn't know how to use it. So they've gone back, and they're now in the process of sort of creating much simpler editing interfaces. This is the first example, which is the clip creation, which right now is only exposed to the management console side. So your CMS administrators, your folks who have rights to use it, can use it. But eventually we'll be able to expose this to public side users as well. And it looks a little bit like the C-SPAN video archive clipping that I was talking about before. You get little drag handles. You can set a start. You can set it out. If you want to set the start time and end time in milliseconds because you have some hyper-precise need, you can do that as well. And then you create the clip, or you hit save on the clip, and it creates a new entry in that Kaltura media table. So you can then, again, use that clip for other entries. Thumbnail selection we saw. So let's flip over to the D6 module. And again, I'm looking behind me. So this is a D6 site on localhost pointing at the same Kaltura backend server, which is not a best practice. Shouldn't actually have a 6 version and a 7 version pointing at exactly the same partner ID because it actually causes confusion on the Kaltura side about which code you need, but for purposes of demo, it's good enough. But what I wanted to look at was in site configuration. You get these, like I said, you get a media node and a media remix node. The media remix node was the type of content that was designed for use with this remix editor. And the problem with that is that it's been superseded, as I said, by this more simpler content editor model. So I can't demo it today because, as I said, my D6 instance is pointing at the newest version of the Kaltura API, and to get that remix, I'd have to go back at least one version, if not two. But uploading inside D6 is very similar. You get the same upload from webcam, or it just says MetaCafe, because at the time that was the only web provider out there, but now you could add additional providers. And I've been focused very much on video. Kaltura also can obviously handle audio, which is just video without pictures, and can handle photos. Not sure that I would recommend Kaltura for that use case, though, since there are so many other ways of handling images in Drupal. I'm not sure that it'd be worth the effort. And if you are importing from Kaltura, so if I had gone and in the meanwhile added more entries on the server side, you can also go and say specifically, I know there are entries out there on the Kaltura server that I want to pull in, and so you can import them through this kind of an interface. This is what the remix module looked like. So you can see that it's fairly complex, right? Video, audio, transitions, overlays, and effects. Any one of those tabs you could switch to and then drag that to somewhere on the timeline. It's like trying to build After Effects in a browser, right? It's a fairly complex thing. The problem was that for the pros who actually do video editing on a regular basis, it was too limited because they were used to Final Cut Pro or Avid or whatever it is that they use. And for the people who don't do it on a regular basis, it was too complicated. So it was the classic kind of like by trying to meet in the middle, you ended up not serving either audience well. And I think they've gone in the right direction by aiming for radical simplicity. So lastly, on the views interface, they expose a number of views like most popular videos. You can also obviously create like editorial flags so that you could have like the videos you want to promote as opposed to just the ones that are actually most viewed. The Drupal 7 module, like I said, creates this field. So this Kaltura media field is a field type that I've added to this forum video content type on the basis of having installed and enabled Kaltura. The 7 module also has this HTML5 mobile delivery setting. Again, this is based on, you know, you get in this weird scenario in which you've got your Drupal module that has versions and has Drupal versions, and then you've got the Kaltura service that has versions as well. So there isn't a corresponding setting in the D6 module yet, but there could be if they were to update the D6 module to point at the newer Kaltura service and backport that. Maybe something I try to do if I find time somewhere in my schedule to work on that. Inspired by Angie's presentation this morning, I'm trying to remember that Drupal is a duocracy and I should just go do it instead of complaining about it. But so the ad media otherwise looks remarkably similar. It's funny, it actually makes me notice how much better the admin side of Drupal is in 7 when all of a sudden I pop back into this and I'm like, this looked fine in Drupal 6, but now it looks funny to me. Same kind of import of entries from Kaltura to Drupal if they haven't been synced for some reason. Similar kind of set of views. So if I pop over to my browser again, this is, I just put it in the corporate clean theme because I wanted it to look more like our target. Same kind of player. Actually have a version that I can demonstrate on my iPad. I didn't want to take the time to set up the projector and everything, but it does work. The HTML5 stuff works pretty well, in fact. And one of the other things that I think I mentioned when we were talking about Kaltura is it also specifically and directly enables download and embed. I've been having some conversations with Zohar Babin, who's their community manager, because the way that they do embed is through Gigya. Any of you use the Gigya wildfire service? Because these videos are being hosted at Kaltura, if you go and look at, like, do inspect source or look at the page. In fact, Harvard just launched a new harvard.edu, and they're using Kaltura for some of the videos down here as well. And so if you look at the Kaltura player, you actually see that it's going to Kaltura to get content, right, to actually get data. And when you do the embed in things like Facebook, there's no reference back to the permalink of the actual node or content type on which the video came from. Instead, you land on this sort of Kaltura page where people can get to the video, but there isn't you know, it's not pointing at what I actually want it to point at, which is like the node permalink or the actual path that I want to advertise, right? So I need to work on that. Back to PowerPoint. So, next steps. For us as a project, that is to say the case that we're working on, we're, as I said, in prototyping mode. There are a couple of issues to work through in Kaltura, one of which is this question of sort of whether Kaltura should be a provider for the media module. So there is, at that node is where that discussion is happening between Zohar, who's the community manager from Kaltura, and some media module maintainers. Around, you know, does it make sense to use PHP stream wrappers and kind of that approach to something that's actually really an embed tag that's actually going to live in the content, right? I mean, the goal is those files are never local. They're always kind of living somewhere else. That said, there is the YouTube provider module for media, which probably does something quite similar and might be a model for it. And then I think the question of sort of what happens to these editing tools in the front end, I think, you know, getting to the point where users can actually engage with a video in a more meaningful fashion, right? Video is the last part of the web where that's still a sort of passive consumption experience. I know there are a few places that have started, well, YouTube does it, of course, but that have started to allow video comments, but there isn't really like a good mechanism for that yet that I've seen that would let me, say, watch a one-hour video and say, I want to leave a comment on exactly this point in it. There's a platform called Vidler, which does that, but they don't have this same kind of service model that I know of. It's much more aimed at sort of individual bloggers. And so really letting, you know, let me take that one-hour video and create a five-minute highlights reel of the things that I think are important from it, right? Let me take, I know I've actually done this before with videos from DrupalCon that get put up on archive because they allow downloading, right? So to take an archive.org video and cut out the first 30 minutes of general con announcements and be able to repost just the talk, right? Or things like that that users would like to be able to do that's more editing oriented. And so I know these are in process. This kind of enabled clip generation for the end user is one of the things that the Kaltura team is working on. I'll share a few of the challenges that come from this approach are not that dissimilar from some of the challenges that were talked about earlier today with, say, Drupal and jQuery Mobile, right? You've got sort of two open source communities, so you've got two different sets of cats that are being herded in lots of different directions, and then you're trying to kind of line them both up. And so you have places where Kaltura is headed in one direction and Drupal is headed in another direction, and you've got to try to figure out how to match them together. And the, you know, Kaltura as a project, I should say, is far more, this is the word I'm looking for, it's much more of a commercial open source venture. So the size of the community relative to the size of the company, Kaltura, the company, it pretty much is a significant part of their open source community. Though I should give props to G-Robot on D.O, who is the person who actually wrote the D7 module, who is not a Kaltura employee. So there is some, you know, there is some community activity here, but it's a bit more commercially driven, or it's a bit more oriented towards a commercial market that doesn't always fit, doesn't always overlap precisely with the Drupal market. Much as we've seen conflict about how much influence Acquia should have in the Drupal space. So, why would you ever use Kaltura and Drupal together? If you're in higher education in particular and you're dealing with video, I think it's a pretty obvious thing to evaluate. If you are more in the commercial video space and you're looking to monetize through advertising, Kaltura does have those capabilities. It can add pre- and post-roll ads and track their viewing and all that. But I think that, you know, the Brightcoves and the Uyalas are more oriented toward that model, and Kaltura seems to be closer to kind of the educational model. Their integration with the LMSs, for example, is obviously a whole part of that. But I'm hoping that we'll launch by the end of the year, and maybe I'll be able to give an update on where we ended up and how it worked, either at Drupal Camp Montreal next year or somewhere else. Questions? Yeah, so the question just for the recording was, since Kaltura is kind of self-contained, what advantages would you get from integrating with media? I think it's a great question. I think that, you know, it feels, and this is where it gets very subjective, it feels to me a bit like Kaltura is swimming against the current. It sort of feels like there's a strong community shift in the direction of media, and it just worries me when I see, you know, I'm walking with a group of 30 Drupal developers and 29 of them just went that way and I'm going over here, that a year from now I'm going to be like, hey, you know, we're still working over here. So it just concerns me that it's not sort of the Drupal way or that it's not what seems to be evolving as the Drupal way. That said, I have yet to sort of, and as I said, it's early in the project, but I have yet to come to a point where I was like, oh, if only... if this were a media provider, then now I could do X, and right now I can't. So maybe I just haven't discovered those cases yet, but I'm still waiting. Right. So the amount of work they might need to do to support being used in that fashion. I mean, it's definitely true that so given that Kaltura has all these handles into other CMSs, obviously, they're maintaining some core API that needs to stay unchanged so that they can continue to support all of those. And I think the issue is that the work that would need to be done would need to be all on the Drupal module side. It would need to be a submodule or a provider module for media. That doesn't require any significant change to their API, and that may be why it's problematic. There's a question behind you as well. Yeah, so as I said at the beginning, I have no legal relationship with Kaltura. I am not a Kaltura salesperson, and I want to be careful not to violate NDAs with the client, but I can share that as we did our evaluation, we got very serious about both Brightcove and Kaltura to get to the point of pricing, and they were comparable. So it was not an order of magnitude difference between a Brightcove or an Ooala and a Kaltura. So this is not, here is your budget solution that's, you know, radically different cost-wise than the other guys. That said, if you move Kaltura in-house and you build the server and handle all of that stuff yourself, well, then your cost is free. Yeah, so you know, there is the community edition and this notion of, let's start on the software as a service. It's actually very similar to, say, like a Drupal Gardens, right? Start with a Drupal Gardens site. Let Acquia worry about all the nasty server stuff. And then once you get successful and big enough and you want to migrate and take care of your own house, you can do so, right? Kaltura takes the same kind of approach. So do a pilot, build a couple of sites, play around with it for a year. If you really get to the point where you're going to say, now we're going to take our 500,000 classes and our LMS and convert them all to this, well, now we need to get out of the paying for bandwidth game, and we're going to bring it in-house. But so from a pure kind of the way I've described using it, I'm on Drupal 7, public-facing site, using the software as a service version, comparable to the other providers in the space. So we're looking at, you know, a 12K to 20,000 US annual thing dependent on a bunch of usage factors. 1,500 videos in the archive, many of them an hour and a half long, so it's a pretty sizable storage space, pretty decent bandwidth usage, so, you know, it's not, it's in the $500 to $1,500 a month range, U.S. Anybody else? So you can't, not sure that I'm following your question. So the So you can choose not to enable download, in which case it goes through a traditional kind of flash streaming model. That said, I've never met a streaming video that I couldn't capture on the web. So, the notion that that actually prevents malicious intent people from downloading it is just false, right? Lots of good solutions in that space. If it's more of a let's not make it easy for people to download kind of approach, then yeah, it works well for that. If you wanted to like fingerprint the video so that then you would know, like there's a CMS analyst company called The Real Story Group, and they put out a very expensive cross-platform CMS report. It's like 600 pages long and covers every CMS in detail. And they fingerprint it. So my copy that I have downloaded that I have a license to has me embedded in it in some digital fashion so that if I were to distribute it, they would know that I was the one distributing it, right? Hollywood does this with DVDs they send out to screeners. You could do something like that. I don't know that it's built into Kaltura today, but I don't think it would be terribly hard so long as you had some way of knowing who was logged in at that point when they grabbed that video, which... in this case, most of the video usage and viewage is actually anonymous. So maybe I could capture an IP address, but on a university campus, an IP address isn't that strong an identifier because it might be on Wi-Fi or whatever. When you asked about bugs, the watermarks, when I was thinking of a bug, I'm talking about more the kind of little watermark in the lower right that says, CBS5 or whatever. But it made me think of, so one of the challenges in this space is you've got... Drupal.org/project/Kaltura, and there's an issue queue there, of course, for the different releases. Then you've also got Drupal.Kaltura.org, which is where their Drupal community lives, and community.Kaltura.org, which is where their actual developer community is talking to each other. And there's definitely a little bit of kind of conversational drift and friction in trying to kind of keep those various conversations in sync, and there is a little bit of confusion sometimes over where am I going to get the best support, or where am I going to actually get my question answered. But I think that I hope that as more people start to use Kaltura and Drupal together, that will resolve itself and we'll build more knowledge on the Drupal side of the equation about Kaltura and more knowledge about Drupal on the Kaltura side, which today is there but not as strong as I'd like. Yeah, so on the first part about the HTML5 and is it as easy to have cue points and such, the HTML5 is only for the player interface, right? So it doesn't, like the Kaltura management console is completely unusable on an iPad because it's in Flash. And right now the clipping tool is only exposed through that interface. So I would hope and will work such that the HTML5 version of the video retains feature parity with the Flash version when we get commenting and timestamp comments and such. But since it doesn't exist yet, it's all unicorns and rainbows. Of course it works, right? We won't know until it's actually shipping. In terms of where Kaltura is with other CMSs, and I gave Zohar a hard time about this, the example was somewhere in the Drupal issue queue, somebody was asking about how it worked, and the site they sent you to as a reference was their Joomla demo. I was like, bad idea. But I spend a lot of time in multiple CMS communities. I actually organized WordPress Boston, WordCamp in Boston. I believe in knowing what's going on in various communities because I think it makes each of them stronger to cross-fertilize and et cetera. But using the Joomla example at a Drupal camp, not a great idea, right? And it was because at the time that was their best demo, right? And so they kind of do demos one after another, and at any given time maybe the WordPress module looks better than the Drupal one does or whatever. I think their goal is to be everywhere, right? Their goal is to be ubiquitous. So they, It's where they've created modules, or people from the community have created modules that they've then endorsed or just been happy to see and promote. They would like them all to be equally featureful. I think it sort of depends on the CMS it's being embedded into, how much of that functionality they can expose. I mean, they're also in some commercial systems for which I assume they had to build partnerships to say, here's a module that works. And I think, you know, I'm a big rising tide floats all boats kind of person. I think the more that they're successful in all those other systems, the more that will eventually help the module on the Drupal side as well. So I think it's great. All right, I'm going to turn the mic off then, but I'll be hanging out if you want to come chat with me.